Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Coming up today, traveling to Rome for Pope John Paul II's beatification ceremony May 1st? Well, we've got a tip for planning your trip. And we go to the Holy Land, where a home for severely disabled children brings together Jews, Arab Muslims, Christians, and Druze who overcome barriers of mistrust in their common suffering and love for a sick child. In our first story, I visit a small community of four Catholic sisters in Haifa on Israel's northern coast, whose home for severely disabled children brings together Jews, Arab Muslims, Christians, and Druze to overcome barriers of mistrust in their common suffering and love for a sick child. What really got me were the wheelchairs. They were all lined up in neat rows, and they all had snug seats and low headrests. One line of empty chairs ran down the hall of one wing, another line down the opposite corridor. I was standing on a fall evening in 90-degree heat at the center of the U-shaped Institute for Severely Disabled Children, run by the Sisters of Charity St. Vincent de Paul. The 125-year-old Arab stone convent is home to some 60 children, most of whom are so severely disabled they cannot walk or even turn over, much less talk or feed themselves. After our frugal dinner of Arabic salads, cheese, and fruit, Lebanese Sister Simone was taking me to see the children, already in bed for the night. "I'm going to take you first to see the babies," she said. And as the glass doors parted, we were greeted by a blast of cold air from the air conditioning inside. As we pass one little girl, her mouth parts in a wide smile. Her eyes are closed.
When she hears my voice, she starts to smile. I kiss her. I told her, "Karen, I am here." And really, she smiled.
To me, Sister Simone sounds surprised, but she shouldn't be. Over the course of the 3 days I was to spend at the Sacred Heart home, I found more love in this one place than most homes could muster in a lifetime. A nurse was standing in the corner. There were three babies in the room. One, a tiny curly-haired girl sitting in a high chair, looked no more than two. She was holding her head in her hands and swaying ominously back and forth. "Won't she hurt herself?" I was concerned. "Oh no, we wouldn't let that happen," Sister Simone assured me. A breathtakingly beautiful Arab boy with soft wavy hair was lying in a crib nearby, his big doe eyes following us, but somehow unseeing. He looked like a tiny 3-year-old angel. Sister Simone lifted his sheet to reveal a feeding tube attached to his belly. Many of her children are fed this way.
His mother gave him a little a piece of apple, and he ate this. When his father came back from the work, when he saw his father, he made excited.
He was so excited, the boy jumped with joy, and the apple went down the wrong way, blocking the air to his lungs. It all happened so quickly, permanent brain damage at 9 months of age. "But this story is just as dramatic," she said, leading me over to the crib of a 3-month-old baby boy, reclining in a seat and hooked up to a feeding tube, oxygen tubes sticking from his button nose. His mother had a long and difficult labor, she told me. The couple had tried for years to get pregnant, even trying fertility treatment. She was terrified of losing that baby. But the doctors performed the cesarean section too late, the baby wasn't getting enough oxygen. She explained that the father is a very religious, Orthodox Jewish man who had doubts about sending his child to a Catholic institution.
The doctor tell them, if you want to put your son in institution, I prefer him to be in Maison du Sacré-Cœur. It is the name of our institution. They told me they are Christian. We prefer him to be in Jewish institution. He told them, go and see. After, you will give me your answer. And when they came, I received them. And they visited. We spoke together. We didn't speak about religion. And the same day, they called us from the hospital and they told us they want to transfer the son tomorrow. And after, they come here and they are very happy.
Arab, Muslim, Christian, and Druze families have also found this sad kind of happiness in the care of the sisters and their staff.
When they come and they visit this institution, they say, or here we will put our children in this institution or nowhere. Because they say all the time, here we feel the humanity, we feel love. Really, this is what they say. And they see how we care about the children.
As we walked into another room full of cots and beds with raised barriers so kids won't tumble out, she explained some children are born brain damaged and with severe physical disabilities because their parents were close kins, like cousins, who married. She takes me to the bed of a bigger boy who grins widely when she stands before him and pats his face. Kifa Khabibi, she coos in her Lebanese dialect. If it weren't for the stubble on his hollow cheeks, I would have said he was 12 or 13 years old. Omar's 21, our oldest child, she says. He's been with us since he was a baby. In this room, a television plays music from an Arabic MTV station, the bright colors splashing out from the screen, across the walls, dancing. Guiding me to the end of the room, she takes me to the bed of a large boy, maybe 11. He's sleeping, but his hands and arms are contorted in what looks to me like an excruciating position. Most of the children are sleeping this way. The reason why daily physiotherapy, she says, is so important. She tells me, this is Aaron. He's a 16-year-old Jewish boy. And this, she said, pointing to the bed next to him, is his brother. A knife blade stabs my chest. I'm finding it hard to breathe. She is explaining that after the second boy was born, the parents discovered they each carried a genetic defect that only together they would pass to their children. They wouldn't have the problem with different spouses. But they decided to stay together and to not have any more children. They bought a specially equipped van to take the boys on outings. They come to visit every day.
They come to visit their child every day. They give them to eat. They take them with the wheelchair somewhere to the home, or they make a promenade, and they come back.
The father comes every weekend, Sister Simone says, and for the first time, her voice cracks. And he takes those boys home. Though this couple stayed together, many families are literally torn apart, especially when an accident is what caused the child's problems. Just like the little angel boy in the baby room, and another small girl whose chewing gum went down the wrong way. The sisters help the families by offering a word of comfort, sometimes a bit of advice, but always a warm smile and a hug.
it's very, very hard for the parents.
I'm sure that one must be blaming the other. You weren't paying attention and this happened.
They have culpability, same culpability all the time.
They feel guilty.
Yeah. And really we try to accompany them how we can. And really you have pity when you see them like this.
The rooms go on and on, some 4 to 6 children in each. One room has a small gate in the doorway. These are our children who can move around a bit autonomously, she explains. I peek into the darkness. There are only 3 children in the room. In another room, an Arab nurse hovers over the crib of one child who looks like he's 4 years old. She's rubbing his humped back. He's a tortoise with his feet tucked under him. And he's giggling, the only sound outside the hum of monitoring and feeding machines. Poor thing, Sister Simone says to me. He's like this all night long. He can't sleep. We try to calm him down. The little boy flops on his side, giggling some more. And though I am in what should be the saddest of all places, I find myself smiling.
I tell you the truth. To start to work with children like this, it's very, very hard for us. But after I tell you my own feeling, you feel deep peace. Believe me. You feel deep peace, and I think God give us force to care about them. Really, really, serenity. This is the word. And you saw them today. They look like angels, really.
And, you know, as I said before, I was expecting to feel terribly sad when I came here. But every child has a huge smile on his or her face.
Yes, this is what I told you, because really, really, we care about them. You saw during the day how many people are working and they have much activity.
Where other institutions have 1 or 2 caregivers per child, Sister Simone tells me her home has 3 to 4. Doctors, nurses, teaching staff, and physiotherapists here come from all faiths, just like the children. A place of peace and friendship in a troubled land.
Yes, they see what we do. They see we are for all. We are the same with everybody. We give every child, every family what she needs. We accompany them, we speak with them, but no problem. Really here we didn't feel the problem.
Sister Simone explains that the head nurse is Jewish, and she points to the nurse in the room, rubbing the little boy's back.
The other is Arabic, Christian Arabic. We have also Muslim. Also physiotherapists are Muslim. Really, they make a team to care about the children. And if there is some child, if he is in the hospital sometimes, or if he is sick, nurse go to home and after she call us to have news. All really they like. They work with heart with the children, really.
The children's day is filled with activities. First, a bath, mealtime, physiotherapy, and music and art classes, language training, and time for strolls and rest. The staff also organize activities outside the home throughout the year.
Some children, we can bring them to the pool, to swim. It's very interesting for them.
Yes, I know that. And also, you've taken some of the ones who are a little bit more able-bodied, horseback riding, and to a hotel.
Yes, to a hotel 1 week. Every year, this year they were in Naharia. We have a special place, and the nurses go with them, care about them. They go for 1 week.
Parents and entire families are invited for children's birthdays and to celebrate Christmas and Easter and Jewish and Muslim feast days. On special family days, everyone joins in the fun with cooking classes, games, crafting ceramics, and dancing to music. I pause in our walk through the ward. We have arrived at an empty bed. Reading my thoughts, Sister Simone reassures me. This child is staying with her parents for the night. But an empty bed on another night would mean unthinkable sadness for one family and irrepressible hope for another. Only if one child dies is there room for another child.
You know, I told you, really, we are sad, really. There is a child, he died, and he haven't no parents, nobody. Only the welfare office and us. And he was Jewish.
Sister Simone, Sister Pascal, and two nurses took turns holding his hand in hospital. They were the only ones to say goodbye at his burial by a Jewish rabbi.
We were four people for his enterrement. His burial was with a Jewish rabbi and all this. And believe me, all we cried. It's very hard.
Have you ever felt particularly sad for one child that has been especially dear to you? Or do you try to keep yourself a little bit distant, not to get so attached to the children?
No, we are attached. You can't keep distance. You can't. I told you, really, you can't keep distance because, you know, they are completely dependent from us.
All of the staff, Sister Simone says, is aware of the importance of their job, and they must be competent at it.
Competence is necessary, is important, but the more important is the heart, believe me. To watch every child, to understand what he wants, from what he is suffering. This really, you must have love and feeling for them.
When we walk back outside into the 90-degree heat again, my heart feels heavy. But not with sadness, with great tenderness, and hope that in this bitter land, goodness and infinite love can triumph. Are you planning to come to Rome for the May 1st beatification celebration for Pope John Paul II and don't know where to turn? Hotel and bed and breakfast reservations are being quickly gobbled up as church and city authorities predict more than 2 million pilgrims will be descending on Rome for the weekend event presided by Pope Benedict XVI. The Vicariate of Rome's travel organization Opera Romana Pellegrinaggi, or ORP, has launched a new multilingual website that will help visitors plan their trip to Rome for the beatification of John Paul II, the city's bishop for 26 years. For practical information on getting to Rome and finding and booking accommodations, pilgrims can click on www.operaromanapellegrinaggi.org or www.jp2beatus.org. The site, available in English, Italian, and Polish, will soon offer Spanish and German editions as well. It also provides information on events planned around the beatification ceremony, real-time traffic updates, and press and multimedia areas. Like Vatican Radio, the site will also allow visitors to follow the major beatification events in live streaming.
In addition, ORP offers the special JP2 pass, including public transportation around the city, a package lunch, a map of Rome, ORP's double-decker bus tours of Christian Rome, and audio-guided visits to a number of Christian sites, health coverage, and exclusive deals and discounts. Well, Father Cesar Atuire runs ORP for the Vicariate of Rome. He told me it is important that pilgrims coming to Rome know that entrance to the Beatification Mass for John Paul II in St. Peter's Square is free.
There is no need to buy tickets to be able to assist at a Mass in the Vatican. I mean, it's never been done and it will not be done on this occasion. Entrance to religious celebrations in the Vatican are always free. And on this occasion, the Mass, taking part in the Mass or the vigil the evening before is free.
Usually, people can obtain tickets to papal events through the pontifical household. Tell us what happens in the case of the beatification of John Paul.
Now, the thing is, with regard to the beatification Mass, the papal house, the Prefettura della Casa Pontificia, has actually sent out a communique saying that entrance to St. Peter's Square and Via della Conciliazione will just be free. The gates will be open sometime early in the morning, I suppose around 5 a.m. in the morning, and whoever arrives. Until the whole area is full, and then they'll close the whole. They close the gate, so there are no tickets. First come, first serve.
Okay, so now your organization, ORP, you have a website now offering all-inclusive packages for the days surrounding the beatification on May 1st. Could you explain a little bit what they include?
Now, we have actually set up a few proposals, which are like packages that include a number of services, for people coming to Rome. Obviously, we take care of accommodation, we take care of transportation to come to Rome. Then, once people are actually in Rome, we have designed a special pass called the JP2 Pass, which allows people to be able to use the public transportation system here in Rome. On the day of the beatification, we will be offering like packed lunches for people who are out and about in town. We also offer like medical assistance and the possibility to visit like San Giovanni in Laterano and the Carcere Mamertino, St. Peter's Prison. Just offering a few services that will enable people to be able to take part during the days surrounding the beatification to have access to all the major services that are necessary in Rome.
How did you go about selecting the hotels and airlines participating in your packages?
Now, with regard to the airlines, we have written to all the major companies that fly to Italy, asking them to give us the availability of seats and, above all, to offer us very good prices that will enable a larger amount of people to be able to take part in the beatification. With regard to the hotels, the game has been a little bit more dicey because usually under normal circumstances, for the May weekend, the hotels in Rome already have 80% occupancy. Now, with this beatification coming up on top of this, there is very little room, and that led to some degree of speculation at the beginning. Now, we've been able to meet up with the Federation of Hotel Owners in Rome and the Lazio in order to come up with an agreement that these hotels will not raise prices, and that they will also open up certain hotels a little bit outside town that are usually closed at this period of time to make sure that we increase the availability of beds and rooms for the pilgrims who will be coming. And all the hotels that actually agree to these conditions will have to sort of like have a little certificate that will be put outside the hotel saying that they agree to the ethical principles surrounding the beatification. That apart, we've also worked with the Regione Lazio and some kind of, tents, like what we call the Villaggio dei Giovani, a youth village, will be opened, one in Fiumicino and another in Civitavecchia, where there will be the possibility for young people to sleep in sleeping bags, but they have all the services, kitchen and everything.
And how would young people then get into the city?
Well, we have, we also have an agreement with ATAC and the metro system, and also Cotral, that is the regional company, and the regional train services, Ferrovie dello Stato. And during those days, they're going to increase the frequency of the number of buses and trains that will take people into Rome, so that, I mean, people who are a little bit on the outskirts of Rome can easily get to St. Peter's area or to the Circus Maximus.
And these, if people purchase one of your JP2 passes, they would have the transportation included?
Free. Yeah, the transportation and everything is included. Transportation to the center of Rome via ATAC, via Cotral, via train, and also via metro.
Now, pilgrims coming here to Rome will undoubtedly be living a spiritually enriching event while remembering and celebrating the life of their beloved Pope. But what are you expecting from these coming days? And can people actually begin their spiritual journey, would you say, at home before they even arrive in Rome?
I think so, and that for me is particularly important, really. This is not just an occasion to remember, but, I mean, it's an occasion to try and live the values and the spirit of John Paul II. Now, I know that a number of initiatives are being put up. The Vatican website is working on a collection of photographs and discourses of the Pope that will be available on the Vatican website. We are also producing material that we'll make available, even through the social networks, with certain excerpts of discourses from the Pope, so that people can begin to meditate and at least reflect and remember what John Paul II represented and what he lived for. And I think, I mean, all these things are absolutely necessary for somebody who's coming to Rome so that they can actually start preparing themselves.
And a warm thanks there to Father Cesar Attuire, the CEO of the Vicariate of Rome's travel organization, Opera Romana Pellegrinaci. Well, through the ORP website, pilgrims can also plan and reserve tours of the Vatican Museums and Rome's four major basilicas. And don't forget, as Father Cesar was saying, to help you prepare for your spiritual journey, the Vatican's websites, including Vatican Radio, are providing snapshots of Pope John Paul's most memorable photos, discourses, and writings for reflection, so don't miss out on them. And also, don't forget that Vatican Radio's website at www.vaticanradio.org will also be providing live streaming coverage of the Papal Beatification Mass, so be sure to catch that too. Well, that brings today's program to a close. I'm Tracy McClure, thanking you for joining me for the last half hour. Tune in again tomorrow at the same time and on this same channel for the next English feature program, or you can hear us at any time of the day or night by clicking on our website. That's vaticanradio.org. Just look for the English service. We'd also love to hear your comments or suggestions, so send us an email. We appreciate snail mail, too. Just send us a note to the English Service at Vatican Radio, Piazza Pia 3, Vatican City, 00120. Again, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.